Okay, about ready to get started? How's everybody doing this morning? Almost done through the show, right? Almost. Okay, in this session, what I want to talk about is working with something called managed metadata in SharePoint 2010. How many of you have looked at the managed metadata stuff in SharePoint 2010? Pretty powerful stuff, huh? Pretty cool. So what I'm going to cover in this session is going through and kind of working with managed metadata in a more programmatic sense, and then also show you a little trick in using managed metadata with Link. If you were in my session yesterday where I covered Link, you've already seen that part of it, but the rest of it is all new. Real quickly, my name is Andrew Connell. I'm an MVP for SharePoint Server. I've got a SharePoint-focused blog, developer-focused blog, and a Twitter account. Also, co-founder of a company called Critical Path Training, where you do SharePoint education, hands-on classes, webcasts, and such. If you're interested, just come see me afterwards. Happy to talk more about it. Don't want to do a sales pitch on the stage. So, what are we going to cover? Well, first, do a quick overview. For those of you who are not familiar with managed metadata, I will do a quick overview on what managed metadata is and some of the stuff from a browser-based perspective. And different ways how you can use it and leverage it. It's interesting, like this panel, I was in this room yesterday, and this panel on the stage kind of leans a little forward, so you take like one step and it's, feels like I'm getting ready to go or not. And it wouldn't normally be a big deal, but I actually had a friend who was on a stage and the thing collapsed on him and broke both of his legs, like in the middle of a session. So the whole break a leg thing kind of means something. So then we're going to talk about creating and importing taxonomies. There's some stuff that we have that's out of the box with working with taxonomies, but it leaves a little bit to be desired. So I want to highlight some of the deficiencies that we have in the what Microsoft has provided for the import process of importing taxonomies. And then I want to then go through and show you how to programmatically how you can import your own taxonomies. Another thing, too, creating managed metadata columns, very straightforward of doing this through the browser. Doing it programmatically or doing it declaratively is a different story. It's a little different because there's some things you have to do on the setup, so I'm going to go through those. And then the end is programming with the managed taxonomy field, so the field type that we get to go through and to read and write data back into that field, and then also how we query our term sets. To find specific terms based on a keyword or a phrase that we put in. And then finally, I talk a little bit about the link, overcoming link. So just as a show of hands, how many of you were in my link session yesterday? I think that was in here. How many of you? Yes? No? Some people? Okay, so some people. So just curious, because if everybody says they did it, then we can spend more time somewhere else. But so in this one, managed metadata in SharePoint 2010. What is this? Well, what Microsoft did in SharePoint 2010 is they put a lot of effort into adding a really good story around creating taxonomies and folksonomies inside of SharePoint 2010. Technically, we've always had metadata inside of SharePoint. You look at a document library, and you've got different columns in your document library. All of that is metadata on a piece of content. But in this case here, we have a much better story around having a more centralized control over our taxonomies and folksonomies. What SharePoint 2010 is going to facilitate is the creation and management of taxonomies and folksonomies. So the difference between the two, if you're not familiar with it, a taxonomy is a very structured hierarchy of terms. So that may be like your product catalog, that may be like your different branch locations for your company, your organizational chart. That's a specific taxonomy where you have a phrase, that phrase has child phrases, those phrases have children as well, and it's a very structured hierarchy of all of your terms. Generally speaking, only very few people have access to manage that taxonomy, but SharePoint, as we'll see in the UI in a minute, there's a way for us to manage the taxonomy in different ways. The other option that we have here are folksonomies, and it's very much the same thing. You can still use it in the same way, except the folksonomy is basically just a big bucket of terms with zero organization. So think of that as more like a Facebook or like Twitter, like hashtags, if anybody's familiar with those, where anybody can go through and create a new hashtag on Twitter just by hitting pound and typing a phrase in right after it. And if that hashtag is already in use, then it won't be recreated. It'll actually, it's created once and you're just using an existing one. But if it doesn't already exist, then it's automatically created in the Twitter system, so to speak, and other people can go through and leverage it and find other tweets that are tagged with that same hashtag. Or it's kind of like Facebook. Just about everybody's on Facebook, so you can go through and put a, you can go through and tag people's names on pictures. There's no organization there. There's no hierarchy or anything. It's just we have all these names and we can tag people up as much as we like. Okay? So those are the two different options that we have. The way that we refer to this inside of SharePoint, because of course Microsoft has to brand everything, is that a taxonomy is what we call managed terms. Inside of the same thing, what we call folksonomy are enterprise keywords. So we have two different buckets of where these things can belong, all right? So these enterprise terms, these things are going to be contained in something called a term set. And a term set is just a collection of a bunch of terms, okay? Term sets can have up to 30,000 terms inside of them. You may look at that and say that's a bit limiting, but you probably want to take a second look at it and say, well, how in the world are we creating these things? Are we do we really need everything inside of one system? It's a product database. Well, we have well over 30,000 products. Can you break them up into different logical groupings? Does everybody need to start with products, or can they start with something like, say, toys, or with manufacturing, or something like that, where they can lock things down a little bit more, okay? So you have a couple different options of how you can go about doing that. You also have this concept in SharePoint of a thing called term scoping. Now, the way this works is that we have the ability to create term sets in a more enterprise level to where we define them in one spot, and they can be leveraged across all these different site collections in our farm. All these different site collections can leverage the same term set. This is going to be done using this new service application architecture that we have in SharePoint 2010, where we have this thing called the Managed Metadata Service Application. We define him. If you're not, anybody not familiar with what a service app is? Basically, it's the 2010 version of an SSP that we had in 2007. But SSPs were these big monolithic things with five different things inside of them. We broke the big container and said each one of these things is a different service offering. We call those service applications now. And they can be kind of associated with web apps in an a la carte way. So I've got my managed metadata service application here. I can define my taxonomy to it. A web application is associated with that service app, either in the same farm or a totally different farm. And then all the site collections inside of him can leverage these enterprise taxonomies. The other option that we have is to go through and to create local term sets. And that's where somebody who owns a site collection says, I want to create a term set for use inside of my site collection, but I don't really want, it doesn't really apply to all the other site collections in the farm. And I also don't want to have to get any some of my librarians or my information architects or whatever to go through and say, and define this taxonomy for me inside that managed metadata service app because I don't have permissions to it. So I could create a local taxonomy and I could leverage that just inside of my site collection, okay? Here's the service application management page that I was talking about. We'll look at this in a little bit more depth in just a minute. This is part of SharePoint Server 2010, so all the stuff I'm talking about here is SharePoint Server 2010 specific. It's not SharePoint Foundation, so this is the pay version of SharePoint. And this is the guy that's going to be, this is the tool that you're going to use to do your primary management of the taxonomies and stuff that you're going to create inside the managed metadata store. It's going to facilitate a lot of things, a lot of capabilities that we're going to look at instead of going through and talking to a slide. It's a little bit more effective, I think, if we open it up. So if I fire up the browser here and we go over to central administration, and if I go to app management and then managing the service apps and then find the managed metadata service application, here's my managed metadata store. All right. So what this is going to allow me to do is to go through and first of all, as you can see, I can have a bunch of different language packs installed. So by default, I installed the English version of SharePoint, so I just have the English version. But I can install additional language packs. And if I did that, I could say what languages are going to be available inside of this term, inside of this managed metadata store. So I can go through and lock down and say, well, these don't apply to what we're doing here or so on and so forth. I can also, we can import a sample taxonomy But this guy, he's somewhat limiting, and we're going to look at this more in a few minutes on how limiting he is. But it's just a CSV file that should be open by now. But it's just a CSV file that's going to have a very flat way of being able to describe our taxonomy. It's not very efficient way of going through and creating a taxonomy. Not a very easy way of doing it. But this is about the time you regret that you clicked on a link, right? Taking so long for it to show up. Having the worst demo experience this week. Yesterday morning I had weird stuff happen. This morning SharePoint Designer refused to open until we beat it about 10 times. And now Excel won't open. It's all about the clients. This doesn't really matter. We're not going to wait for that. Stop. Oh, great. So you hit cancel and it still opens up. Nice feature. Right? So this is kind of what you get out of the box here. It's going to let you define things like the name of the term set that you want to create here. So this one's called the political geography. Here's another one right here for sample description of it. There's the LCID or the culture code. Is it available for tagging? We're going to look at that in a second. And then all these different terms that we can specify. But there's a lot of stuff that's missing from this, okay? So let's go back and let's look at some of the stuff that we have here. Now, I'm looking at the managed metadata service right here. This is the service application that was created. I can have multiple managed metadata services created inside of this farm. So maybe I have one for, like, say, healthcare, or one for financial, or one for our product database. I can have different ones set up, and so in this case, I can manage all of them from one interface. Inside of this one that I have created, I'm going to create this new group, and this is going to be a group of different term sets that are available to us. So we'll pick something like, just say, countries, right? Or let's say continents. Oh, great. Of course, I fumble on the spelling, but that doesn't really matter. It has nothing to do with metadata, right? I can specify a few things on this guy, like a description, who's going to have the ability to go through and manage this one, who has the ability to go through and actually add additional terms to it or term sets to it if I want. I'm going to leave all that as the default and say, let's create a brand new term set. If I said import, it would let me pick the CSV file I want to import from using that same schema that you were looking at just a second ago. But we're going to go through and just say, let's create a new term set. And continents, well, that wasn't really helpful here. How about let's back this up a little bit. Let's get rid of continents, and let's call this, how about branch offices or company offices. And then, so inside of company offices, we'll have things like countries. So inside of the countries, this is my term set. So this is think of it as the main container that I'm going to get to for all the stuff, for all my terms. I can set the name, I can set the description, who the owner is, stakeholders, a couple different things here to saying who's going to be available to go through and to manage this guy and add stuff to him. At the bottom, you see here I also have two other options, the submission policy and is he available for tagging. Now, what I mean by the submission policy, this is where as the taxonomy as I defined it in SharePoint 2010, I can configure him and say that end users can add terms to this term set through the daily use of this term set. So if I create a new field and I make this submission policy as open, then people could go through and put their own stuff in if they see that something is missing. Or I can go through and say closed and say, nope, they're only going to be managed by the librarian or the information architect, whoever has access to the service app and central admin. Okay, that's totally up to you. You get to decide. The only thing that I would say this is one of the more, probably the two or three things that I think is the most appealing thing in SharePoint 2010 is all the metadata support around managed metadata. But there's one or two things that you can tell are like V1, you wish there was like a V2 thing for. The big one for me is giving me a way to make it an open submission policy, but let me have some sort of workflow around people going through and creating new terms. So it would be nice if I could go through and say that I'll make it open, you submit a new term, but only you can use it. No one else can use it until someone goes through and has a report and says, I approve that one, or that one, or I can move things around. We don't have that out of the box. It's pretty tricky to try and build that too, but that's just one of the common things I see people ask about, so just trying to head that off. Available for tagging. Let's come back to that in a few minutes once we create a few terms. So I'm going to come over here in these different countries, and we'll have stuff inside of Europe. I know Europe is not a country, so... North America, and Asia, and South. Okay, so a couple different terms. These are a couple different terms. And inside of Europe, we'll add a few different countries here, like add a few countries here, and then North America will add a few countries. And then South America, we'll leave Asia alone. They're just too big to manage right now. Brazil, that's not, let's go to a happy place. Okay, so a couple different terms that I have here. Now, a couple things that are neat about this. So, like, let's go to the Netherlands, right? Huh, done, we're there. So, we're going to come over here and we'll look at this tag. Now, you see here, I've created a tag for Europe and a tag for Netherlands as well as a bunch of others. I can have this get as deep nested as I want it to get nested here. All right, I can go as nested as I want. I can put different areas inside of the Netherlands. I can make it different regions, or I can make it different cities or different provinces, or however it's, you want to go through and you want to define this. There's a couple things that we can specify here, though. Is it available for tagging? So if I go through, am I going to be able to use this inside of different scenarios where I want to tag content? Can I use this term as a tag? Well, in this case, yeah, sure, I would want to, because I want to use it for, like, say, different cities or different countries, right? That's the whole idea behind this term set. But what about Europe? Do I want to be able to tag things as Europe for our company office? Well, no, I don't want to be able to do that. The whole idea is to be able to pick a specific, you know, country. So I'm going to say no. In Europe, you can't go through and you can't tag things with Europe. You can't tag things with America, Asia, or South America. And you'll see where this comes into play in a little bit. So let's come back to the Netherlands. Make sure Europe stuck. Europe did not stick. Right, it worked for all the other ones but this one. Okay, there's something wrong with Europe. Let's not go there. So, I was going to make something about the economies, but then everybody screwed up, so whatever. Not everybody in Europe, so to speak. We're just as equally screwed up over on our side of the ditch. You never talk politics, you never talk religion, you never talk race, right? In a session. If you do, you got to tell it all so you can just offend everyone. So, okay, so anyway. Let's see. So I've got the available for tagging, which is clipped on our browser here, so it's kind of hard to see. But a couple other things. You see where it's got the language set up is English. Well, if I wanted to have multiple language packs installed, when people go to search for something like the Netherlands, it's going to show up as the Netherlands. But if I want to go through and have different translations for different things, right? So, like, for example, over here, the proper name is Den Haag, right? But over in the U.S., it's always The Hague, right? So we spell it completely differently. Of course, Americans, we come over here, we call it The Hague, and people roll their eyes at us. We're like, well, yeah, it's because the stupid people told us that's what it's called. So we didn't know them. I don't have my own map. I have the map that somebody gave me. So I can go through, and you could say, well, let's have the Netherlands or the Dutch language pack installed, and I could have a translation for this. I could add a label here where you see it says other labels. I could have a label here and said that this label applies to the Dutch language pack. What's neat about this is I can have the same tag have multiple different labels associated with them in the same or in different languages. And as I went to go through and find a piece of content inside of this, inside of this term set, as I was going through and searching for tags in my language that I'm currently set up in that I'm looking at, it's going to find the same tag that would be the equivalent inside of like an English or a Spanish or a Japanese tags. Therefore, that no matter what it says, no matter what the translation is in different languages, that tag is going to be the same tag. We tag that piece of content for Den Haag. Then if an American comes over and he looks at it and tags it as The Hague, and we're searching for, I want to search for The Hague. Okay, well, you're finding this stuff that was also tagged as Den Haag and vice versa. So it's nice. I'm finding one specific thing, right? One is set up as the default. That's the one that everyone's going to see, but all the other ones will be found. So like for the Netherlands, we want to do another label for this. Like NL is what I see a lot of stuff like for the domains, right? If I look at, say, The United States, I did save it. Oh, now what is going on here? Save. There. Come over to the United States. USA. Right? So I can have a bunch of different labels here. We'll see how this kind of comes into play. Some of the other things that are kind of cool about this too, let's see, if I want to go through and we have countries, if I had, let's not do that one. We'll come back to that later. So these are a couple different things I can do with these terms. Now, some of the other stuff that I can do with them, let's see if I can get this to stay here. This thing goes away after a few seconds. You can see I have a bunch of different options here for things I can do with this term. I can create new terms underneath them. I can copy the term, reuse them, deprecate them. I can move them. What's neat about this is as I go through and rearrange the terms, it's not going to really affect the content in any way. Because when the content, when I tag a piece of content with one of the terms that I have here in my term set, two things are being stored. The ID of the term, the internal ID, and the default label. The default label is going to be used so SharePoint can very easily show the content that's been tagged. Right? It can show the tagged piece of content. But the ID is what's going to be stored internally so that it knows where it is in the entire hierarchy. All right? So if I take the Netherlands and I decide to just pick it up and move it over to South America, right? Or take Jamaica and move it a little bit closer to Florida, which would be nice, selfishly. But if I move these things around, if I go look for this kind of content in different hierarchies later, it'll find it based on the current hierarchy it's set up in. I can also reuse a term so that, like, say, if you're doing, like, sports teams, right? You can have one city has a professional hockey team, a professional football team, or a professional whatever, different kinds of things. I can have the same city be reused in multiple places, or I can just copy that and choose which one do you want to use here. So basically, I can find Amsterdam in the same multiple places in the hierarchy, but I can treat it as the same tag, even though it shows up in multiple places, or I can treat them as different tags in different places based on where they are in the hierarchy. You can set that up however you like. One of the other neat things about this is, the deprecate term. This one doesn't make as much sense to some people. What this means is that I don't want to remove this. I don't want to delete it from my term set, but I want people to know that you should not be using this. It's still there, but don't use it. It's like in those of us who are developers, when we're building some sort of an application, and we build our application and we get little warnings and saying, hey, you're using an object that's been marked as obsolete, meaning basically you shouldn't be using this anymore. We have a new version of it. So it's kind of giving you the same kind of a hint. The other thing that I have is if you look over here at system, here's a keywords field. So I have a keywords field type that people can go through and add keywords to different items. This is the thing, the group that is a folksonomy that has no organization to it. As a librarian or an information architect, I can look at items going into my keywords group, and I can see where somebody's plugged in a country like, say, the UK, right? And I can say, well, the UK, that's not really a keyword. That really is a country. That should be inside this term set. I could promote that keyword to a term inside of the Europe term set group, and what that would do is that would take all the content that's been tagged with that term. It would automatically update it to use this new, to be as a term instead of a keyword. What happens if I rename one of these terms? It's a background process, so it doesn't happen immediately, but SharePoint does go through and update all the content that's out there to use the new label so that everybody will get the new thing. So it's not like things are going to get orphaned, all right? I also have the ability to take two terms and merge them. So if somebody put the Netherlands in South America and then said, that's not right, we have one in Europe and we have one in South America, I can merge them, or if they had misspelled it, I can merge the two terms together. One's the primary, the other one is treated as a label, so that people who are using the old label will still be able to find the term, right? So a lot of just really intuitive stuff. If I come over here to my SharePoint site, let's actually use one of these guys. So I'm going to create a brand new list, go to More Options, Create a List. We'll create a custom list, just called Custom List, feeling very creative today. And let's create a new column, and this column will just be called our home country, right? And I'm going to scroll down and say we want to use Manage Metadata is our field type. And then I'm going to scroll a bit farther down, and I'm going to get this option here of the term set settings. I can pick a specific term set that I want to use, like countries, or I can say customize your term set and create a custom one. This is what's being stored as a local term set, and it'll be stored with just the site collection itself. I don't want that. I want to use the countries here. A couple other things, too, to point out with this. Can it be a multiple fields, meaning can I store multiple terms inside of this field? It's just a checkbox. Yes, you can, or no, you can't. I have it unchecked by default. No big deal. You want to put multiple terms in there? That makes sense. In this case, doesn't really make a lot of sense. What about the display format? Do you just want to show the term itself, or do you want to see the entire lineage of the term? So I want to see it say country/Europe/Netherlands. It's up to you, however you want to show it. And as you see, you can even change this after you create it. What about, a little farther down, can people do fill-in choices here? Yes or no? Well, in this case, it's disabled because I said this term set is a closed term set, meaning that nobody can make changes to it. So I don't even have a choice to make here, right? That was handled a little bit farther up. And then finally, I can have a default value, which that's pretty explanatory. So let's go through and use this. I want to add a new item. So we just go to create a brand new item. And then in the home country, I can either click this little icon over here and pick from some different terms that are available to me. Now, it may be a little hard to see here. Yep, Europe didn't save its changes there. But you can see how Asia, North America, and South America, those are kind of grayed out, but all the rest of them are nice dark black text. That's because the ones that are grayed out, I said those are not available for tagging. I simply use them as containers. I simply use them as containers to go through and to group the other terms together. So in this case here, I can't use Asia, I can't use North America or South America. Europe was just a weird thing that was going on where if I had refreshed the managed metadata service app, it might have fixed it. So I could pick a country just by going like this and click this and say select and then go OK. And then I have the Netherlands. Or I can go through and do another way. I can say start typing in the name of a country. And it will go through and try and find it for me and tell me where it is. If I have multiple things. I'm trying to think of ones that I put in there. I don't think I did anything that's close. None of them start with the same three letters, so it's not going to do anything. I'm not going to find multiples. But if it found multiples matching, it would give me a list of all the ones that it found that matched. It'll also find aliases. So if I type in NL, I said that I had an NL label associated with the Netherlands. And it goes, well, this is probably what you're looking for. Maybe I was looking for USA to show you that case doesn't really matter here. Did I do U.S. or USA? There it is. Demo fun this week. Apologies. So I can pick from the term that way. Now, one of the other things that's kind of neat here, and this is kind of just an out-of-the-box capability that we get, there's two really powerful ways of using the managed metadata stuff. One way is through just standard navigation. So if I look at a list, I have this custom metadata navigation settings, and I'm going to come over here into the settings for this and add in my home country, scroll down and hit OK, and what that's going to give me if I go back to my list, I would usually want to turn off the quick launch here, but you see that what it's going to do is it's going to take all the content in this list and flatten it down, meaning it's going to get rid of all the folders, and as I go through and pick different terms inside my term set, it's going to filter the results to show me what I'm looking for. How many things are tagged with Europe? Well, I see one thing with Netherlands. I pick on Netherlands. There we go. There's the Netherlands showing up. If the same thing for North America, I'm just looking in North America. United States is showing up. But if I filter down to Canada, Canada won't show up. Really good way to go through and find content in very big libraries, right? Yes, sir. Yeah, so, based on your profile, no. Well, yes. It depends. How's that? There's the classic SharePoint. It's a classic SharePoint answer. It depends. Yeah, without any customization. See, that's not fair. Now you put my hands behind my back. Kinda. So the way it is, you have this thing called, in folders, we have location-based metadata. And so when I create a folder in a list, I can go into the properties for that folder now, and I can say that anything that goes in this folder, this field value is assigned this value right here. So if I had a folder called Netherlands, then I could say that the home country, I want that to default to Netherlands, and any content that I added to that would automatically be tagged as Netherlands. So I could do it that way. The other way you're asking is, could I go through and do it, like, say, with my profile information? Look at the person's profile and automatically tag it. Without any customizations, no, it's not. You can't do it out of the box. With a little bit of code, yes, you could. So what I'm going to show you in a little bit is an event receiver that when we create contacts, it's automatically going to look at the stuff you put in the contact, and it's going to create automatic tags based on your postal code, your state, and your city or province, so that I can easily find people in a big contact list. So you can do it, and it's not much code. It's actually pretty easy to do. Okay. So that's one way of going through and being able to find the content. That's one way of using it. The default location-based metadata for folders is another way. The other thing, which because I just created this content, because it's search, because search takes a long time, and because I'm a developer and I try and stay away from search. Another thing that the way metadata is leveraged out of the box is that when you go through and search for content out of the box in SharePoint, it's going to give you all of your results in the big white area of the page. But on the left-hand side, you might have seen these things called refinements. And they're a little like groupings down the left-hand side that say, show me only Word documents or Excel documents or PowerPoint documents based on the results that it found. Or show me only content that was tagged with Andrew Connell or John Doe or, you know, Lucy or something like that. Or it also will show me a list of all of the tags that were actually found in the content that it found, and I can start narrowing things down and make it a little more fine-grained process. Okay? So that's some of the out-of-the-box stuff that we get. Let's go back and let's talk a little bit about the import story, okay, before we go on a little bit farther. So I already talked to you about how we can go through and we can import term sets. We can import term sets using the browser, using this CSV file format. It's a bit limiting, though. First of all, you can't create labels. You can't create aliases or synonyms for your different terms. It's also very tricky of going through and setting up different options or different flavors of a term based on different locales and different languages if you're doing multilingual stuff. It's also hard to manage the stakeholders and managing the sort order. You can't customize the sort order when you do the import. You can do it after you do the import, but you can just imagine, I'm going to import 10,000 items, 10,000 terms. Do you want to then go through and do the sort order? Probably not. By default, it's all going to be sorted alphabetically, but there's a place, a tab at the very top, where you can go through and make a change to the sort order. It's pretty straightforward. So the other thing, too, that's probably a little more common is that somebody's probably saying, you know, we've made a big investment around a taxonomy in our organization, and we want to leverage this taxonomy inside of SharePoint. So we've evaluated this, and we said, you know, we really want to go through and put our taxonomy in SharePoint and have that be like the master data for our entire taxonomy, okay? You probably look at this and say, so is my process then going to be that I either have to manually recreate this in the browser, or I have to create this giant CSV file or series of CSV files and then manually go import them? And out of the box, that is the story. But thankfully, what Microsoft did is they gave us this really robust API for interacting with the term store and with interacting with taxonomies. It's inside the SharePoint, Microsoft.SharePoint.taxonomy assembly. And it's really, really robust. They spent a lot of time here, right? This is going to give us a very easy way to go through and to create a taxonomy and import it, okay? I've worked with a couple customers now about going through and taking existing taxonomies and moving them into SharePoint. You've got a couple decisions you have to make. You first want to look at this and say, how many of you fall in that category just out of curiosity? I've already got a big taxonomy and I want to leverage it in SharePoint, but now I've got to figure out how am I going to do this, right? Or I've got a taxonomy, so a handful. For those of you who don't have that, if you run into a customer that's like that, you kind of have to. The first decision you have to make is, am I going to take my taxonomy that's in this other system and am I going to move it into SharePoint? Or am I going to duplicate it in SharePoint? Or do I want SharePoint to leverage this taxonomy that's over there? Now, if you leverage the taxonomy that's in this other system and you don't import it into SharePoint, you don't get all these capabilities of all the tagging and everything that I'm showing you. Okay, you lose all that because SharePoint's not managing the content. You can do that using things like the business connectivity services and BCS and external content types to leverage that data from those external systems if you wanted. So that's one option. The other two options are, I either want to take my taxonomy from this other system and import it, or I want to take this other taxonomy and duplicate it and keep the two in sync because I have some applications that are leveraging this one and I want SharePoint to leverage this one. You've got to build all of this yourself. Okay, Microsoft doesn't give us anything to build this other than an API. It really just depends on your business requirements. There's no one-size-fits-all of which one of these three options I would choose. All right, I prefer at least either duplicating or moving your taxonomy to SharePoint because you want to leverage the SharePoint capabilities here. Right? If you're not going to leverage those capabilities, doesn't make sense to import it. Just use BCS to expose it over here. But then none of the stuff I'm going to show you really applies. Okay. So I've worked with a couple law firms and stuff where they've had to go through and do this different taxonomy and tagging of stuff and content and enterprise content management scenarios. This is just something you're going to have to decide. But let's say, for example, that you've decided that I want to go through and either import or do some sort of a synchronization and keep these two taxonomies in sync. What you can do is write a custom process, right, which is standard .NET code that's going to import and manage the taxonomy inside the managed metadata store. It's not that hard to do this. It's actually really, really straightforward. It's easy to find existing terms that are out there, update them, or just to create brand new ones. There's a couple things you have to do. You saw me when I was creating a new term set. I first had to go in and go to the managed metadata term store tool, and because I only had one selected, or I only had one created, I had a managed metadata service that I automatically had picked. The managed metadata service was the name, right? The next thing I had to do is I had to define a group. And the next thing I had to say was a term set. So there's those three things that I've got to go through and define, all right? So first thing I'm going to have to do is I have to first get a taxonomy session. I have to connect to SharePoint in some way. This is kind of like connecting to the site collection. Remember, my term set is going to be defined inside of a service app. How do I get to that service app? By way of a site collection, because the site collection's inside of a web app that's connected to the service app. So what I first have to do is go create a new taxonomy session, and that taxonomy session is going to set the context of the site collection that I'm currently in. Once I've done that, I then have to pick the term store. That's the service application. Once that's done, I then have to go through and pick the group. The group is going to be the different groupings of different term sets inside of that term store. And then finally, I've got to get down to the term set itself where I can start adding tags. Okay? So four things you have to do to get to your term set, or really, three things you have to do to get to your term set. The first two are the ones that are seem a little strange at first. All right? So let me show you how we can programmatically create a brand new term set. So what I've done is I've gone through and created a fictitious term set here using my own little schema, this little XML file that I've defined. And all this really is just creating a geography of the southeast of the United States, right? Or a section of the southeast of the United States, right? So this XML structure is very incomplete. We did something similar for this for a law firm, but it was much more hashed out. It had a lot more things like descriptions and sort orders and all that kind of stuff that we wanted to put in here. Stakeholders, who the owners were, etc. So you see here I've got a taxonomy that I've defined called USA Geography. And then inside of that, there's a term called Southeast. I then have gone through and created a label for the Southeast saying I can just type in SE to get to Southeast. Inside Southeast, I've got a couple states. Florida has a couple synonyms or labels associated with him. And then inside of Florida, I have other child terms for different cities. And then inside those cities, they have different terms for the different neighborhoods and the different zip codes or postal codes that we have there. Okay? So something just very straightforward. We could get much more complex with this. Then the code to go through and do this. Now, the first thing you have to do is I just have a simple console app. It's just demoware, essentially, to make it easy for you guys to consume. I had to go through and first just add a reference to the SharePoint assembly and the SharePoint taxonomy assembly. Now, once those two things were done, the code that I'm going to show you is filled with a lot of link to XML kind of stuff because I'm traversing an XML document. But I want you just to focus on the managed metadata term stuff that I'll highlight. So this piece right here that I just unhighlighted, it's a bit of a compressed statement here. So just bear with me for a sec while I explain this. The first thing I have to do is get a reference to a taxonomy session. The taxonomy session, that's the thing that is going to give me a link to the actual service application. So now I'm essentially connected to a site collection, right, by passing in the site collection. The next thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to say I need to reference a specific term store or a specific service application. I cheat a little bit here because I know I've only got one on my demo machine, so I'm just saying grab the first one. You probably want to give it a name or find the, or traverse and give people the option of which one do you want to choose, which term set do you want to connect to. So right here, you would find the term store by enumerating through the term store collection and then setting that to the term store that you want to use. The next two pieces here about the group and about the term set, what I'm doing is I'm looking for group name locations, and then I'm looking for a group name United States geography. That's a combination of a link expression or an extension method, link expression, lambda expression, and ternary expression. That is essentially those two statements are saying, hey, go get the location, the group called locations. And if it doesn't exist, go create it and then give it to me. And do the same thing with the term set. So I'm just trying to compress those statements down a little bit there. Okay? So I've got the four things I need. I got the session established. I connected to a specific service app. I know what group I'm in. And then I got to the term set. So the only one that really matters right now is the term set. I'm good right here. All right? So from there, I'm going to come down, and I save any changes that I made by creating the term set or the groups or anything. All this stuff is just a bunch of linked to XML that's going to walk through this XML document. And if I look down a little bit farther, he's going to go through and walk through all of the different terms he finds. And for each term, this is what he's going to do. This is the bulk of the work. He's going to create a brand new term. Creating a term is really a piece of cake. You create a new term by looking at a term set item, which is either a term or the term set. The term set item, which is a parameter I'm passing in, that class has two derived classes, a term set and a term set item, because both of them can have child terms, right? So I'm just using the generic version of the class that both guys are going to use, because all I'm going to do is call the create term method, giving it a term name and giving it the LSID or the culture code for what this term is going to be. So that's how easy it is to go through and to create a term. I'm then going to walk through and check and see, do we have any labels inside of this term? And if we do, I'm just going to say create a brand new label, give it a name and its culture, and then I'm going to set this Boolean value here at the end. The way it works internally is when you create a term, it doesn't really have a name. It's just got an ID as far as SharePoint's concerned. And then it's got a ton of labels. When you do it through the browser and you create a new term, you're immediately creating one label. And that label is flagged as being the default label, the one that's going to be shown. This Boolean value here says, should this be the default label? Should this be the one that's going to be shown? So in this case here, I said false because I just created a term above it. Okay? So you can switch where the default is down the road if you like. And then finally, I'm just walking through and saying, are there any other children? And if there are, let's just go through and execute. I keep saying executing the children this week. Let's go through and let's walk through the child terms and make sure we add all those to the term that we just created. Okay? So everything looks good. Let's see. Let's go back to this. I'm going to just hit F5. We'll watch it go through and create our term set. It takes a second for it to get going because it's got to establish a connection to the site collection and then to the term store. But you'll see that once that happens, this goes real fast. Okay? You'll see this text show up on the screen. That's when it created all the terms. And at the very end, it says commit all, and it saves all of its changes. So you see this, the commit all is the thing that takes another half a second or so, depending, well, maybe not even half a second. It goes nice and quick. Yeah, wish SharePoint Designer was that effective. So let's come over here, and let's refresh the page. And I now have my locations with my United States geography, Southeast, Florida. I look at Jacksonville, and I see Jax is the airport code. Fantastic. So I've got my term set that's already defined here. Okay? So that's how easy it is to import. As you saw, the bulk of the code you saw a second ago was walking through an existing term set. Creating terms, creating labels, that's a piece of cake. Right? They've made this really easy. The only thing that's kind of weird is the whole, like, the four lines you got to do to set it up to get to the term set. I need a session, then I need to get the group, the service app, then the group, then the term set. Okay? Does anybody have any questions on that? Yes, sir. What about updates? So I don't have the code here written, but in a second you'll see how I can go find a term inside of the term set in the next demo that we do. And when you get that term, I can go through and change his name and then save my changes back to that term. So I can just have it, I can go through and do it a way like if I was doing updating items inside of a SharePoint list, I just get a reference to it, update the item, and then call .update, and it saves the changes. So if I wanted to change the term set, I think it's, unscripted demo, mental note, bad idea. Okay, let's try this. I could say, let's go find a term, so let's just grab somewhere in a method. So do I have access to my term set here? No, not here. So let's go back up to the top. So here's my term set. So I could say term set get terms. So I could find the specific terms like to get all the terms back. And then what this is going to do is it's going to give me a collection of terms. It's going to return back a collection of terms. I find the one I'm looking for, and then it's just a term. I could say, go update his label. Go update the name that I want to use by just going into one of his properties and changing the property value. And then no versioning. No, there's no versioning. Yeah. Okay, so that's import. Anybody else have a question on import? Nope. Okay, so let's go back to the slides, and let's talk a little bit about creating managed metadata columns. Whoa. Oh, that was me. Sorry, I'm not used to having this thing right here. Where was I? Oh, so creating columns. I showed you how to create a column a second ago using the browser. Really easy. It's like creating any other column inside of a list. But as a developer, we want to be able to sometimes create things in a more repeatable and structured way. Maybe programmatically, maybe using a feature. Now, you can do this using a feature. All right, but the trick is, as you'll see, there's a couple properties that you have to set up. Remember when I created the site column, or I created that one column, I had to pick things like what was the term set, and that automatically knew what was the group, what was the term set, the term store coming from, the service app, which one was I connecting to. I had to tell it all that information. It figured it out because as I was opening up that tree and I picked countries, it looked at the hierarchy and knew where I was coming from, so it grabbed all that stuff and set it on the fly for me. I could do the same thing declaratively in a feature, but it's a little tricky because you don't know what those IDs are usually when you're doing this stuff inside of a feature. Usually you want to do this stuff programmatically to go through and find what you're looking for by name, grab his ID, and write that ID in. So I prefer doing it the code way of building these guys, doing a more code approach. It doesn't mean that's any better than a feature. It's totally up to you. But you see here that we've got to go through, we have to set a couple things with this guy. So it's totally up to you how you end up doing it. So creating one is one thing. The next thing we have to do is we have to know how to do the two most common things we're going to want to do with the term sets. You've already seen how to create a term set or to create new terms. You want to know how to find them, which I just showed you kind of quickly just a second ago. You also want to know how to write to the term, to the taxonomy field columns that you're creating, because you don't write to them the same way you do like a single line of text. To go through and to read terms from the term set, you're going to go to the term set and use that method I just showed you a second ago called getTerms. He has about 5 or 6 or 7 overloads of different things that you can use. And what it is it's going to be allowing you to filter down and provide different filtering criteria of the terms that are going to be returned back to you. So for instance, all of them are going to let me pass in a keyword or a phrase, and it's going to find terms that match that phrase. But I can do things like filter by a specific culture code. I could filter and say, don't give me the items that have been marked as deprecated. Don't give me items that have been marked as not available for tagging. I can also limit the result set that I get back. So if I've got 30,000 terms and I'm searching with just 3 characters, I may want to say, just give me the first 100 that you get. And if the user says, well, that's not what I'm looking for, then you simply say, give me more stuff to get it to filter it down a little bit more. That's not enough information. You could build all that yourself, right? So you have a couple different options available to you. To go write an item, to go once you've gotten your term that you found that what you're looking for, and you want to assign that to the column inside of the list item, you're gonna update the list item in a little different way than what you're used to doing with standard SharePoint list items. You're going to get a reference to the list item itself, but then you're going to get a reference to the actual field inside of the list. You're going to then go to that field and you're going to call this method called setFieldValue. This guy right here. You're going to say set the field value and pass the list item in and the collection of terms that you want to assign to that list item. And that collection may be a collection of 1, right? Not 0, 1. If you're doing an update of a collection of 0, you're kind of wasting your time, I guess. And then finally, you want to go through and say, I want to save my changes. All right? So let's go through and look at this. What I've got is this demo here, And what this guy is going to do, he's going to do a couple different things. So let's first, let's see, how do we want to do this? Let's go run the guy first. So you can see him, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of pick through how he works. There's going to be one thing that I'm going to end up doing. There's one thing that you're going to see in the code when we walk through the event receiver. It's a link thing, and you're going to kind of look at it and go, wait a minute, that looks like a complete waste of time. And it is. It's just demo code. Remember, this is not for production use. I'm going to come back to it. It's just something I did to make it easier for the next little demo, something I want to highlight to show you how something works. Okay, so if I go back to my site over here, I now have this new list here called contact list with automatic tags. And if I open him up, let's go through and let's modify his view really quick. So where we get rid of all the fields in the view, except for city, state or province, zip, and location tag. Location tag is a new column that was created based on, that was created programmatically when the feature got updated. Now, what this thing is going to do here is that I've got an event receiver that whenever I go through and create or update an item in this list, it's going to go through, look in my managed metadata store, and look at the taxonomy, the locations taxonomy that I created a second ago in the import, and it's going to look for city, state, and zips inside that taxonomy. He's going to find those different terms the terms that he finds based on those different values. He's going to add them to the location tag, which is set up to allow for multiple terms. So I can do automatic tagging of new people. So if I go over here and say add a new term, we'll add one person, Connell, Andrew, come over here, city, St. John's, Florida, 32259. I'm not going to go through and fill in this location tag because when I click save, that's something we should see get automatically populated by my event receiver. We can add somebody else over here, so let's just add some crazy person. And hit save, and it'll go through and automatically tag him as well. Okay? So if I come back and we take a look at the code here, how is all this stuff working? Or why is this kind of like beneficial? This is where you're asking, could I do this programmatically? It's very simple to go through and do this. We look at the code, what's going on? Well, first of all, I have inside of my little project here, I'm going to make all the code samples available to you on our site. But if you go to look at this, I'm going and creating a brand new list just using the SharePoint dev tools in Visual Studio 2010. Creating a brand new list with what might be the longest name ever for a demo. But I've got its contact list with automatic tags. Give him a URL right here, and he's of type 105. And those of us who've done SharePoint since we're blue in the face back in 2003, we know that 105 is a... This is the interactive part of the session. Contact list, right? It's a contact list. So we got our contact list. Once that was done, my feature went through that did the activation of that. He went through and had some code inside of him, and he went and said, let's go create the managed metadata field using this site, the current site that we're in, and a list, right? And a specific list. Sorry, using a specific site collection, not a site. I'm looking at a site collection and using a specific list. So when I scroll down a little bit here, what we'll see is I'm going through and having to establish those four things I was talking about. Get the taxonomy session for the current site collection. I know there's only one term store in here, so I'm just going to grab the first one that I find. All right. Obviously, if it was a real world, I want to be a little bit more specific. How about the locations? Well, I could have just said grab the first group that you find because there's only one group that I know that's in there. And because there's only one term set, I could have said just grab the first one. But I wanted to show you how you can use an ordinal value of an index or an actual label, a text value. And then finally over here on line 41, I'm going through and getting a reference to a new field that I'm creating. So I'm looking at the list and saying, go to your columns collection and then create a brand new column called that's based off of the type taxonomy field type and give it a name of location tag. I then have to go through and set the service application ID or the term store ID, and then I have to set the term set ID. Which term set inside that term store do I want to use? The line that I have highlighted, that's the service application. These are the two values I said that are kind of tricky to set when you're doing this stuff declaratively in a feature. Could I do it if I knew them ahead of time? Of course you could. There's nothing stopping you, right? I just find it to be a little bit more, I find more cases than not when I don't know what the IDs are, but I know what the names of them are supposed to be. And so I use the names instead. There's something in the code here usually finds the name we're looking for and then plugs it in. And then once I go through them, I create this guy. I'm going to go through and add him to the fields collection and then save my changes to the list. Okay? The next thing that we're going to end up doing here is if I go back to, let's see, I have a event receiver that I've created. In my event receiver, he's not, one of the things you'll see here is my event receiver is not part of the feature here. He's not going through and getting attached this contact list. Just kind of a little like superfluous demo here that when you go through and if I did it this way, then the elements manifest that's created is going to attach it to all the contact lists. I didn't want that. I wanted to attach my event to just one specific contact list. So I did that by inside of the feature receiver. After I went through and created the new metadata field on feature activated, I said attach the contact list. And this is something you have to do programmatically. So this is just a more sample code here of just showing you how do you walk through and actually take an event receiver and attach it to a specific list instead of a whole type, all lists of a certain type. Okay? So if I look at my event receiver, what's so special about him? Well, in the item added and updated events, what you see here is that I'm first going through and turning off the events, right? Before I go through and make changes to it. Why am I doing that? This is one of those classic little cases where somebody asks you, why are you doing that? Do I have to do that? And then you say, go figure it out. And you don't do it. And then you realize that you're in an infinite loop here because every time you're updating the item, it's firing off the event again, which is firing off your event, which is updating the item, which is firing it off again. And the next thing you know, your machine's coming to a crawl. It's a classic case of going to the doctor. What's wrong? It hurts when I touch it. Stop touching it, right? Right. So same kind of a thing. You figure this out. So I'm going to call this method here called update locate. Oh, and a little footnote. Those of you who did events in SharePoint 2007, you may notice that the disabling of the events, I'm doing it a different way than how we had in 2007. We had like that event. I think it was a method, right? And we could say enable and disable the events. That method is now marked as obsolete. It's been deprecated. You should be using the properties now. What happens if I'm using the old way? Oh, you're just a rebel. And you're just ticking somebody off just for the heck of it. But that's up to you. It's your code. Is it slower? No, not at all. Okay, so this is the first part that you're going to see here. Inside this method, the first part you see about the whole link stuff and data context and everything, yeah, that's totally unnecessary in this case. But just skip past that. We'll come back to that. You see there on line 41, there I am doing the same kind of thing again. Got to get a reference to all my stuff. Okay? Once I've got my references, let's go through and let's find all the different terms. So I'm going to do the same thing three times for city, state, and zip. For city, I first have a new collection, an empty collection of a generic list of a bunch of terms. I'm then going to go look at the city and say, hey, is anything in the city field? If there is, then I want you on line 49 to go call termset.getterms. Find anything for the specific city. I want you to filter out anything that is not available for tagging, right? Don't include it. That's why I put true in there. That's going to give me back a collection of terms, a term set collection. I'm going to convert that to a list, and I'm going to add that with the results to my empty collection that I created previously. We'll do that again for states, and we'll do that again for zips. And then at the very bottom, I'm going to get a reference, make sure that I actually got some stuff. I'm going to get a reference to the taxonomy field inside the current list, and then I'm going to say, go set the value of the current item that we're on equal to the collection of the terms that we just found and save the changes. Pretty easy, isn't it? Right, of writing to it. Pretty easy to find terms, pretty easy to go write back to terms. Okay? Let's see, what else did I want to show with this? Oh, does anybody have any questions about this, about reading and writing to terms? Right? It's pretty straightforward. Yes, sir? Nope, just stretching. Okay, good move, though. I like that. I had one guy in a session that he kept stretching, and when he saw that I kept calling on him, he started stretching even more. And then I stopped calling on him, and then he starts stretching again. But he was trying to, like, fool me, and I just stopped calling on him. And at the end, he's like, that wasn't really funny. I'm like, dude, you're totally doing this yourself. So anyway, little metadata humor. Anyway, so if there's such a thing. Let's go back to the slides for a second. Let me talk about another little bit here. And this is the part that I covered yesterday, that I covered yesterday in my link session. But this is going to apply to those of you who are going to go through and programmatically interact with contents, with data inside of SharePoint lists. Now, one of the things, how many of you are familiar? We have link inside of SharePoint now. Everybody know that? We get to that point. Okay, so we have link support inside of SharePoint. If you didn't know that, you have link support inside of SharePoint. All right, so next step. You were able to skip the entire session yesterday. One of the things, the way that you get this to work, is that you have to build up this context, right? You have to build up an entity context so that link understands the data source that you're going against. So the way he does this is by using SPMetal, this utility, you generate this entity context that you're going to add to your project, and then now you're going to create a new instance of that context, pass in a connection string, which is just pointing to the site collection, and now I can go through and query my SharePoint site using this strongly typed proxy that I've created, using just standard link methods, link queries. The trick is that in SharePoint, SPMetal only generates the entity context and all the properties, the strongly typed properties, for the lists, content types, and items when the underlying field inside of the list or content type is based on a field type that comes out of the box in SharePoint Foundation 2010. That means that custom field types that we may create or custom field types that Microsoft created and added to SharePoint Server, things like the publishing HTML field or publishing image or managed metadata, those will not show up inside of a entity collection or a data an entity model, right? You're not going to see that stuff show up inside of the models that are generated by SPMetal. Well, that kind of stinks. That means that with Link, I can't work with a taxonomy field, right? That's unfortunate. Thankfully, this is nothing to sneeze at. This is really important, right? So the way it works, right, is that what you can do is that Microsoft did give us the capability of going through and extending the model from what they generated so that we can say, look, you're missing some stuff. Let me go ahead and add some additional things. And they did this by giving us this special interface. See, the way it works is that when SPMetal goes through and creates one of these entity models, every class that it creates is a partial class. So I've got these partial classes. They're going to inherit other things. All I have to do is create another class that has the same prototype, the same definition, that's another partial class, and then put a comma on the end and say, here's the interface, the iCustom mapping interface, and implement three methods, map from, map to, and resolve. Map from says, let me get the data out of the list item, and let me put it in this new property that's available to you. That's of type taxonomy field. Map from says, let me pull the data out of this field, and let me put it back into the SharePoint list item, right? Because SharePoint knows how to save and how to serialize and deserialize a SharePoint list item from the database. We simply have to help it get that data from that list item into our new custom field that we created, right? Our taxonomy field or other type of field type that we had generated. We then also have to go through and do this resolve method. This says what happens with any kind of data conflicts. As I mentioned yesterday, the nice thing about this is that the entire class that you get that the SharePoint SDK talks about with this guy, it has full control over all the stuff. It has a full sample of what you would want to use. You almost don't have to make you have to make very few changes to this file or to the code that they have in the SDK. You're just going to make changes that are going to point to your specific field. All the other stuff about map to, map from, and resolve, I haven't had to change any of that stuff yet for any of these that I've done. Everything's always the same. So it's really just kind of a cookie cutter thing with a couple little hot spots that you have to replace. All right? So let me show you what I mean by this, where the challenge is. If I come over here and look at, let's go to my event receiver. And let me first go through and hide this guy. So go like that, rebuild. Okay, so we saw in my feature receiver, where's my feature receiver? There it is. So you saw in my feature receiver, I created a column named location tag. And just like if you create a column in the browser, if you create it programmatically and there's a space in there, what does SharePoint do? Unicodes that space, right? They Unicode and code the space. So what I did is if you come over here, it's called location tag. So what they do is when you have spaces inside of your field names, when the entity model is generated, they remove all the spaces. They truncate everything. So that means that if I come over here and I'm using my model right here where I'm grabbing stuff, I'm going to say contact item. Contact item dot. And if I start trying to go through and find my location tag, I'm not going to find that property on my data context. I'm not going to find it because, remember, SharePoint ignored it, or the SP Metal utility ignored generating it, right? So I can't use it inside of link. That stinks. So what I can do instead is come over here and look at this model that I generated. Excuse me, let's go examine the model that they generated. And let's jump to the very bottom here, and I can see there's the actual item. Contact list with automatic tags contact. That's the individual list item that I'm going to use to go through and to create new items or query items inside of my data context when I'm doing link queries, right? So what I need to do is, you see, is a partial class. I need to implement the same kind of a class with the same inheritance hierarchy and add a reference to implementing that same interface. So if I'm going to go through and grab all this stuff again, okay, so I've got the same kind of prototype right here, except I've implemented the iCustom mapping. Now, the first thing I did is I had to create my property, right? The thing that I'm going to use inside my data context. That's this thing at the bottom. There's my property. It's a location field. His name is location tag. And that's how you're going to implement it, right? I'm going to pull the value out of this guy. When I go to set it, I'm going to check to see if it's a different value than what's already there. And if it is, then I'm going to do the nice, friendly notifications of data is about to change or data has changed for any kind of data binding stuff or anybody else that's listening for these different events. This is just good practice to do this stuff right here when you're doing this. And then I have to implement the three methods I was talking about. Map from, map to, and resolve. Map from, get the data out of the list item, and set it back to, and hand it back to my property, or put it in my property, right? So this dot location tag is the property I showed you just a second ago. Map to, do the exact opposite. Pull it out of my property, stick it back in the list item. Resolve, what happens in different cases here where I'm different kinds of data conflicts, right? I need to go through and implement this. If I need any special logic, I can put it in here. But for the most part, I've seen that you really don't need to modify this. Everything that's in here is just fine, okay? So once I do this, and then I rebuild my project, now if I go back to my event receiver, I should have contact item dot location tag. Nice. Now I can go through and I can work with this guy, and you can see he's even a type taxonomy field. So now I can go through and do all the stuff that I'm used to doing, right? Like, let's see, location field, what kind of things, allow multiple values and all that kind of stuff too. Getting values out of it and all that kind of stuff. What are his contents? What are the terms that are selected? I think there's terms? I can see what terms are associated with them. Get field value is text, da da da. Where's the terms? I'm trying to think. There's a term value. I'm looking at the specific fields. So I'm not getting the values out of it yet. Yeah. So that's how you go about doing that. That's how you can augment the link model that's generated so that you can go through and leverage the same kind of metadata columns in a link data context like you could, or any model that you could inside of with the SharePoint Foundation fields. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about this? Pretty straightforward? Cool. Okay. So I guess with that, I've got about 5 minutes left in case anybody has any questions. Before we do questions, though, these slides are always funny. Summary slide. In case you weren't here, that's what we just covered. In case you were doing your email, that's what we just covered. I'm supposed to remind you, please fill out your survey, your form. It helps the conference organizers make sure that they pick the right content, and also helps you keep people like me from coming over here if you don't want me to come back, or getting other people to show up. So it's totally up to you. But I appreciate, it's my last session, so I appreciate everybody coming to this one. If you came to my previous ones, thank you very much. And I hope you guys got something out of this. So thank you very much.